Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, February 2nd, and we're starting a new week. Good morning, Jen.
Morning. A new week and a new month.
That's true. That is very true. February 2nd, which reminds me, February 4th is a big deal for me because we celebrate the station's anniversary.
Yes.
I started February 4th, 2008. And it's been 7 years. And, you know, I mean, who thinks your business is going to last that long, you know, when you start?
You never know.
You never know. And, you know, I didn't really set out to build something big. But, you know, all I really wanted was a radio show, you know, for myself. So I just made things happen, you know, and it grew and grew. And today we have 80 shows or so. And, you know, I mean, at least, I think, I mean, people keep reminding me, you know, because for you, it's like you get used to the idea, you know, it's no big deal for you. But people are saying, you know, you started something really cool because you let people be on radio who would not normally be on radio.
Yep.
You know, so it's not like you have to be a big star and everything to get to be on radio. So, you know, that's why. And you also, you know, on internet radio, since the costs are not high, you can do shows that are really niche shows, you know, because and find an audience. So, I mean, there are shows like we've had a show for 7 years on barbecue. And, I mean, this guy, he's got the best produced show ever. You know, he's in Cleveland and he does, you know, he does a great show. And, and you have to ask yourself, what do you have to say about barbecue for 7 years?
Yeah.
But, you know, apparently, you know, there's like contests, there's competitions and stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff happening. So, you know, and then we had a show on books, a couple shows on books, and some spiritual, some this, some that. So those are shows that would never see the day of light in traditional radio. And, you know, so here you get to really touch on topics and stuff that you wouldn't anywhere else.
Yeah.
You know. So that's what's cool, you know. And we've grown and we've grown and I'm really happy about it.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. So maybe February 4th, if I don't forget, maybe we'll bring a cake or something. Maybe some champagne in the morning.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah, mimosas or something.
Yeah.
I guess you would go for that, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Two drunk girls.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, no. After yesterday, drinking all day, I need like a couple of days off.
Really?
Yeah.
So you drank a lot because of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was just a long day.
Yeah.
A really long day. So
really? Why is that?
Well, we started at like 2 o'clock.
Okay.
You know, so we got to the party at 2 because the game started at 3:30, I think.
Right.
And from there, it was just like, you know, constantly filling up your cup, eating more.
How much do you think you drank?
I have no idea.
Really?
I couldn't even tell you. And then from there, we went from one friend's party to another friend's party to like have like, you know, dinner basically. So then there was like wine at that. And then finally got home and had to drink a lot of water.
So now what's your favorite drinks? I mean, do you drink beer or cocktails?
I drink vodka or wine, but I prefer wine. It's just with a long day of drinking, I'm not going to drink wine all day. Probably fall asleep.
Oh, really? Is that what it does?
Yeah.
And vodka doesn't?
No, I think that's more sustainable.
I see.
So us two drunk girls were giving tips throughout the day. If you go to our Instagram and Twitter, you would see it, at two drunk girls. We posted pictures like, don't forget to hydrate, and us with like water bottles, like looking like we're dying. Eat between meals more than a strawberry. We're all like eating strawberries. Which is not how you get through a day. You need to have like burgers and things.
Yeah, definitely burgers.
Yeah. So finally, by like the end of the night, there's like a picture of me with like a million chicken wings, sauce all over the place.
Wow.
And I was just trying to like eat to like keep alive.
Yeah. Oh, God. So, I mean, do you get like plastered sometimes?
No, no.
No, not to that point.
No,
right?
I'm just a small person and I forget that I'm not like a guy. So I try and like keep up with everyone. And like, then again, I also don't eat red meat. So when they're serving red meat everywhere I go, I can't eat.
Okay.
So I was like snacking on anything I could find to like sustain what I was drinking and have it like soak up.
Right. Wow.
There's a skill to it. There definitely is. Also, our first tip we put out for the day was to label your cup.
Yeah, so nobody takes yours.
Exactly.
You take somebody else.
And all the moms I'm friends with on Facebook were like, definitely don't leave your cup unattended. You never know what people will put in it.
Yeah.
Like, right. Yeah. I mean, thank God I was surrounded by friends, so they wouldn't do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you don't have to be too suspicious of that.
No.
Wow.
Had a great day, though. Did you watch it?
Not really. I mean, what? I watched a few minutes here, a few minutes there, some the halftime, some of that. But that was it, you know. I know I missed a good game, but I really wasn't into it, you know. I mean,
yeah.
I just like we were with family and stuff, and then I even preferred to sit down and read. Than I mean, I just don't have the patience to sit on my ass for a long time, you know. We did go to a movie. I took my dad to see American Sniper.
Oh, what'd you guys think?
Yeah, it was awesome, you know. I mean, but that's the thing is that. You know, I had other things to do and stuff. So I thought, you know, I can't sit on my ass, you know. And I wasn't invited to a party or anything. So, I mean, when it's a party, it's a different thing. You don't even have to watch it.
Right.
It's just kind of there.
Like, we were coming and going, and we were, like, everybody was watching the commercials, and I tweeted up a storm.
Really?
For at least the first half of the game while I was paying attention. But
what did you like? Did you like the commercials?
I loved the commercials, except right. for there was one, like, nationwide commercial, I think it was, that it was, like, a big downer.
Really?
And it was about, like, a child that died.
Oh, my God.
And everyone was kind of like,
yeah, why
this was a buzzkill.
Yeah.
There was one commercial from Chevrolet, and they planned it so the TV would go black. So everyone in the room thought the TV went out or the cable went out. And we all screamed at the same
time.
Wow. We screamed like as though the world had just stopped.
That's pretty creative.
It was so creative. And then all of a sudden, like, it comes on and it continues. And it's like, you know, like when in times of like the cable going out, like get in your car and drive or something. I don't remember. But. So it was brilliant. However, everyone's heart stopped.
Yeah.
We all screamed bloody murder.
Wow.
So it was funny. Also, they showed like the new Jurassic Park. That looks awesome. I can't wait to see it.
Is that a show?
Movie.
A TV? Oh, a movie? What's it called?
Jurassic Park.
Oh, Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't hear the first part.
Oh, yeah. So the new one looks amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. When is that coming out? In the summer?
Oh, I don't know. I think so.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds pretty good. I heard there would be like commercials with babies and puppies and things
yeah.
like that, right?
Yeah.
Were there?
Yeah.
Yeah. They always have to do that.
Yeah, the Bud Light, Budweiser commercial for Best Buds. They do it every year. It's like the little puppy and the guy
right.
and their relationship. And it was so cute because the puppy went missing.
Uh-huh.
And so the owner was putting up signs and like, you know, lost puppy reward for puppy or whatever. And you see the puppy, he ends up going into like a horse transporter.
Yeah.
And so he's like lost with the horses, and then he like tries to get out, and then he faces a fox, but then these horses save him, and then he runs all the way back to his owner, and he's like covered in mud and he's sad and wet and dirty, and he's like running home because he remembers where he lives, and all these horses are following him because they like protected him the whole way. And then he makes it home,
cool.
and the owner is like so happy to see him, and it's just really sweet.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
It's so cute.
Yeah. It's funny how they make emotional commercials, you know?
Totally. Oh, my God. I was so emotional when the Super Bowl started because they were singing, like, a Star-Spangled Banner and America is Beautiful. And you would see, like, our troops, and they were watching from Afghanistan. I think Afghanistan.
Oh.
Where did they say they were?
Yeah,
they are. And then the Thunderbirds flying overhead. And it was just such a moment of, like, bringing the world together.
Yeah. At least this country together.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Very cool. And the halftime was cool with Katy Perry.
I wasn't that into it.
No?
No.
Yeah, I mean, it was weird, you know. I mean, the set, the costumes were weird. But when they lifted her on that thing and that, you know, whatever, swing, whatever it was.
Yeah.
I mean, how could she even stand it? I would have died, you know? I mean, you've seen everybody from up there really small. And it's not like she's like an acrobat. And,
right.
You know. But
I would have freaked out. I'm, I guess, afraid of heights. So
yeah, I know. I would have freaked out too. And she only had this little platform she was standing on.
Yeah,
yeah.
I wasn't that into her performance just because her songs are kind of old and like,
yeah,
her outfit was kind of weird.
Yeah.
And
but she had a few outfits.
Yeah. Well, the one with like the flame was kind of weird.
Yeah, the flames, yeah.
But our the whole room of like where I was started singing all of the songs. Like we went crazy. We did so many videos. People were just like really getting into it, although not liking it.
Right.
It was like a love-hate thing. We like loved it and hated it.
Yeah.
And then we were all like, we miss Beyonce.
Yeah. Okay. Look, I think we're getting our guest calling in. Let's go ahead and take that. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Morning. It's Nicola Bird.
Yes. How you doing?
Good morning.
Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
It's Nicola. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you for calling us. It's a few minutes early. That's why you rang and I didn't answer it right away.
No problem. I wasn't sure what time I was supposed to call in, so I know you should call a few minutes beforehand. So.
Yeah, well, that's fine. You know, we're on the air now. So thank you for calling us. Where are you calling from?
Toronto.
Oh, you're in Toronto, Canada.
Yes, I am.
Wow, I love that place. I used to go there all the time. I had a long-distance relationship with someone who lives there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I love Toronto, but I hated the long-distance relationship, you know? It's just, you have to keep flying to see the person.
Right.
You know?
No, that's very difficult. Very difficult, I agree.
Yeah. Have you lived there all your life, Nicola?
No, I haven't. I lived here. I'm originally from the Caribbean, so...
Oh, wow.
I have lived two places.
Yeah, totally different climate. I mean, you totally went from...
Totally different climate, that's right. But I do go down all the time, so I still get all the flavor.
Oh, wow, very cool. And what brought you to Toronto?
Well, my family kind of moved back and forth when I was a child, so I kind of moved back at a certain point in my life.
Wow, very interesting. So tell us what it is that you do. You do a lot of different things, but I see you pioneered self-imaging therapy, SIT. That fascinates me. Tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, I'd love to. Yes, well, it's a total inner process where you learn to look at yourself from the inside out. So you go deeper into the layers of yourself and take a look at what's going on deep in your heart, deep in your mind, deep in your body, and find ways to empower yourself and overcome challenges and really find the strengths that you need from within yourself. So it's a real inside-out process.
Yeah. Well, it sounds pretty ambitious and stuff. And, so you obviously came up with this yourself. How did this idea come about for you?
Well, I started, I was always inclined to move in this direction in my life. I was always very interested in personal growth, self-development, that kind of thing. So it was really inborn. And then at a certain time in my life, I went through challenges. I mean, who doesn't go through challenges? So that's nothing unusual. But I went through a particular challenge in which I was in the midst of getting divorced. I was married for a short time, 2.5 years. My ex-husband was emotionally abusive. So I left the relationship. And I really wanted to create change for myself from the inside out because I didn't want the same old patterns to keep running the show. I wanted change. And so I was doing different things to create change, and I wasn't getting the results that I thought. So I started digging deeper into myself and started coming up with some techniques that I did with myself. And poof, I saw all kind of wonderful changes, and I began to really see how I could change from inside out. And at the same time, I was in school, and I was doing my graduate degrees, and I was able to do them at record time in a very short space of time because I was really being able to empower myself from the inside out. And then I started working with people, and the whole process really grew from there, and I honed the skills, and now I do a lot to helping people overcome all kinds of things, anxieties, fears, empowering themselves, emotional eating. It's a very exciting work, and it's very exciting to see people learn to empower themselves and come out stronger and enriched.
Right. Now, so, I mean, that's how usually things start, is when you feel there's a need for you, and there's maybe a missing something's missing out there, and then you go and you create it yourself, you know, for yourself, for other people.
No, I think so. I think that it's very powerful when it starts with you, because, like, I am the original guinea pig in the process, right?
Right.
I am the first one. So whatever I'm doing with other people, I've done with myself. So, and when you start with yourself, it really gives you incredible empathy, incredible compassion and understanding. And so it's very, you bring so much of yourself to the table rather than kind of being distant or removed. And I think that powerful things come out of recognizing something that's missing. That's where so much innovation comes from, and ideas come from, and new breakthroughs come from. And that's what's create results. And all the people want in their life is results. Everybody wants to feel that they can get stronger, more empowered. Everybody wants to tap into their resources. So having ways to do that is a wonderful gift.
Yeah. Well, it definitely sounds like it. Now, you also, you mentioned you wanted to talk about stress eating, emotional and stress eating. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously, sometimes they call it compulsive overeaters, but sometimes, I guess, you know, eating disorders can be not eating, right? Like anorexia.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah, yeah. No, I chose that as a topic because I think it's really something that a lot of people struggle with, and something that can provide a lot of information. You tapped into different things. So stress or emotional eating is just such a compulsive overeating, meaning when you're stress eating or you are emotional eating, you're eating for reasons other than hunger. You're eating for emotional reasons. So it's not driven by your physiological need. It's driven by an emotional need.
Right.
Compulsive eating is the result of those emotions. So you're overeating. You can binge eat or eat too much or just eat things that are unhealthy for you, and as a result of those emotional stresses. The thing is that 75% of us eat for emotional reasons rather than as a result of physiological or body needs. So it's very compelling, because mostly what people do when they focus on wanting to lose weight, a lot of the focus is on what you're eating or exercise, and people don't really pay that as much attention to what the real culprit is. The emotions and the stress, I think, is driving the behavior, and that's the cause. And in my work, I get to the deep-rooted problems rather than surface things. So it gets to really what drives it. And most people, when they go on diets or exercise programs, they lose the weight, but they gain it back. And sustaining the pattern, sometimes even more, because they're not dealing with the real problem, and they think the problem is their lack of willpower, but really it's the source of it, those emotions that are compelling or driving you to eat for reasons, like I said, that have nothing to do with hunger, and then it just becomes a very vicious cycle because you're not really dealing with what's causing the problem.
Right. And, you know, I mean, I was in a relationship with at least one emotional eater, and I could see I could see how treacherous it was for her to try and manage this, you know, and it's something that's with you your whole life, and I concluded you can't really get rid of it, you just have to know how to deal with it, and you said, understanding where it comes from is the first step.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, in my work, I do see people getting rid of it. And, oh, sorry, I had this thing on. I thought it was off. My sound's off. So, yeah. Well, because in my work, we do get to dealing with the real problem. It's a challenge, but we definitely get to what causes that. And if when you get into those emotions and learn techniques and tools how to manage them, to confront them and face them and work through them, and you become really start dealing with that. Yes, people definitely are able to overcome the emotional eating. It's you have to get to again what's driving those emotions and what's causing it. And there it's one of the major patterns is how much people can be really hard on themselves, and they get into a very vicious circle of beating themselves up because of they overeat, so they beat themselves up. But they're overeating because they don't feel good about themselves. So when you don't feel good about yourself, and then you eat, and then you feel bad about yourself because you're eating, you're just going round and round in circles that then drives you to eat more. You just keep going round and round in a vicious circle of feeling really bad about who you are. And it's that kind of inner dialogue that really needs to be changed to get off that cycle, because what you're really addicted to, even though you think it's food, is feeling bad about yourself, because you become so normalized to feel rotten about yourself, it becomes so normal to feel that you're not good enough, that becomes what you're constantly feeding, even though you might not have any understanding that that's what's going on, but that's really what you're addicted to, those emotions, that kind of emotional state. And it's very damaging, and it's very hard to break, but in my work, that's what we get deep into that root, and we program the mind and body so that the person learns how to manage those feelings and break those mental chains and break those patterns so that they can come out on top and learn new ways to manage themselves, a new way to have a relationship with themselves that's so different, so they can overcome that unhealthy relationship with food.
Right. Well, you know, I know that although some men are afflicted with this, it's more prevalent around women, right? Emotionally.
I don't think that it's actually more. It's just that women will acknowledge it more.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
It's more that women... It's uncomfortable for men to acknowledge that they have, right. But you were right, emotional distresses. It's very unusual for a man to recognize that relationship. It will be much more coming back to the grind of thinking that it's about no lack of willpower, but really it's still... Because men will beat themselves up just as much as women, just that women have more permission to say that they're emotionally eating or connect with it. Because more men are overweight than women, actually.
Okay.
So, yeah, but it's not, women will seek that kind of help or acknowledge that.
Right. So it's not from the love difference. So it's not from the love of food. You know, you're saying even men eat emotionally and have these problems as well.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely, because men are dealing with a lot of stress, and where do you put your stress?
Right.
Food is the easiest thing to go towards and gravitate towards as a feel-good. I mean, it's free. I mean, you have to pay to buy your food, granted, but it's not. It's legal.
Yeah.
It's available,
right.
And you can get it cheap. So as an... something that you're feeding or an emotional addiction, for instance, you know, it's not like using drugs or alcohol.
Exactly. It's not that clear cut. Yeah.
But it's the same kind of addiction. And sugar is certainly, lots of research and studies show that, for instance, what sugar does to your brain is akin to any addiction.
Wow.
And you become sensitized to it, and you need more and more sugar to get the kind of buzz that you get. So sugar is known to be, again, and there's lots and lots of research on this, and sugar as an addiction to the brain. So, yeah, both males and females will definitely struggle with emotional causes of overeating, and need to learn how to manage emotions, because that's what really challenges us in life, right? Our emotions, they're the things that we have the hardest things managing. We tend to think of the problems as something outside of us, the things that are happening to us, things that are either stresses, our pressures, money woes, relationship woes,
right.
All the stuff that we are confronted with day in and day out, right? It's just, that's what life is about, right?
Yeah.
So we're always facing these conflicts, but how do we cope with them? And it's those coping styles that we have to, we need to, healthy coping styles, we need to learn, and when we don't have them, we turn to something. And food is probably, you know, one of the biggest attachments that people have. And really, people, obesity is a growing phenomenon. It's increasing, not decreasing, and people are facing that as an issue. So it's really something that needs to be regarded, not just, again, calories or focusing on your willpower or exercise, but what what's going on within you and taking that time to take care of yourself on that level.
Right. Well, I see that you're I just want to promote everything that you do. First of all, I know that you provide advice and assistance to people, even remotely, right?
Oh, yeah. I do my work via Skype with anyone anywhere, so, and it's very successful. They're nice and comfortable in your own home, and the work is an inner process. So, yeah, it's very powerful over Skype.
Right. And then you wrote a book. You have a book. Tell us a little bit about the book.
The Boomerang Effect. The Boomerang Effect helps you to learn coping styles, to manage the challenges that you're facing, to be able to take control of your life, and to become really aware of what it is that drives your behaviors, the mindsets that cause you to get stuck in the first place, that keeps you stuck in an unhealthy rotation or cycle. So you learn techniques to overcome it.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
Very helpful.
And so you have a book, you have the therapy that you provide, you also have a web series, Out on the Limb with Dr. Nicola Bird, and you also co-host a show with Michael Long, to whom we spoke on Friday, and you have a show,
right.
Transform Your Life, that's on Blog Talk Radio, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you guys can listen to Nicola in a lot of different ways. Read her book. Go to her website. The website is NicolaBird.com. And
that's right.
Yeah. Do you have any other websites that you want to promote?
No, that one is fine. You can get everything on that site, and anyone who enters, who signs up for my newsletter gets entered in the contest to win a free session with me at the end of the month. So just sign up, and then I will announce the winner.
Sounds good. I'm sorry, I just went on your website and the video started. That's one thing you need to be aware of is it's not a good idea to have a video start as soon as somebody lands on the page. Because especially when you're on the radio, then it starts playing. But at any rate, there's a lot of stuff on the website. Check it out, testimonials, media. You even have a blog. You keep busy, huh?
I do keep busy.
Yeah, very good. That's the way to do it, let me tell you. Well, Nicola, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Fascinating stuff.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course. Everybody check out SIT, Self-Imaging Therapy. And then I see all your social network links are right on your website so people can find you there.
Yes.
Okay, Nicola, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And
thank you for having me.
Of course. All the best to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Wow. You see, and that's why, like, I'll sit through the whole interview and I'm tempted to click on her website.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it happens a lot.
Yeah.
And I know if I'm going to do it, some audio is going to start playing. It'll interrupt the interview. So I thought, you know what, I'll take a chance. And I did. And
yeah.
That's what happened. You know?
That's really interesting stuff that she works on and that, you know, that she's figured out a way to help people with that because there's so many people that have that issue.
Yeah, yeah. A lot
I'm sure people don't even know
disorders.
They have it.
I know, you know, and the thing is, and I know that it's very tough. I mean, I was married to a woman that had eating disorders, and it was a battle, you know, the weight, the, you know, bulimics will throw up, you know,
right.
Vomit afterwards, and to not gain the weight
right.
That they just ate. And, you know, things like that. So it's really, you know, anorexics that are really like you see them disappear in front of your eyes, you know, and you just and they look at themselves and they see someone fat, you
right.
know, when they're like skinny as hell. So that's terrible. But so anyway, thank you to Nicola. We were talking about the Super Bowl, the drinking, all that stuff before,
yeah.
Right? And, so then we got to, you asked me about American Sniper.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was pretty good, you know. I mean, it was a little long for me, you know, because like I said, it's hard for me to sit on my ass. But the fact that my dad did not fall asleep during 2 hours and 15 minutes was pretty good. I mean, it means at least there was action.
Yeah.
You know, because my dad is 82 years old. And, you know, he's got Parkinson's and stuff. So he's... you know, you wonder if he can sit through something like this, but he does. I mean, his mind is amazing.
That's great. And are they having a good time while they're here?
Yeah. Yeah. They're good. Having a great old time. It's just that trying to convince them to move here, you know, and my dad is already sold, but my mom, man, she's stubborn, you know. I told her, you can't go to a home, you know. We don't want you in a home.
Right.
You know, stay here. We'll put you in your own apartment or something, a condo or something. We'll have helpers for you, assistants, you know, live-ins or somebody that's around. Because they're already starting to be, well, they're immobile. I mean, they can't go anywhere, so you have to take them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get to a point where you can't put your socks on and stuff. You know, we don't think about these things.
Right. We take that for granted.
We
for sure.
really do, you know. And then you get older and you go, my God, you know, what's happening to me?
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, my mom, it's like what's important to her is the language. You know, she lives in another country. And although she can speak English, but she's not fluent with it. She's not comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she can't really express herself. And unfortunately, you know, what happens is, at least here, when people have like heavy accents, we think they're stupid or something, you know.
Right.
Because they can't really communicate well. but they're not at all, you know. In their language, they're, you know, these people are very smart, very sharp. So I can understand her, but at the same time, I told her, I said, look, it's just going to be the two of you there. Eventually, one dies, you know, and then the other one's left there. I said, you know, just come here. I mean, we take care of you guys. Look how we spoil you, you know. They went for pedicures yesterday.
Oh, that's so nice.
Foot massages and stuff, you know.
Very nice.
I know. So what the hell, you know, just move here, man. So we'll see. You know, I told her, I said, look, the last years of your life, family is the most important thing.
Right.
It really is.
It's true.
You know, so, yeah, but they are having fun. But at any rate, back to American Sniper. You know, I finally got the controversy now because he had to shoot the kid and the woman, right?
Right.
Yeah, so that's kind of controversial. But the fact remains that I think many Americans aren't aware of the way that things go there in the Middle East. And that's exactly the way it goes, you know? You have suicide bombers that are women, that are kids, and they don't know what they're doing. People are sending them.
Right.
You know? But what are you going to do? Are you going to let the kid kill a couple dozen troops? You're not going to. So that's the thing. I mean, that's his job. But remember that point where he was just hesitating because it was all up to him. I mean, if he made a mistake,
right,
he would have to answer for it.
Exactly. And I mean, that's why when, you know, Michael Moore said that snipers are cowards. Or whatever, it's like,
that's probably what he meant, right?
Well, I think what he doesn't understand is it's not just like shooting. It's not like a game of duck hunt.
Right.
You know, you're not just shooting wildly. It's choices that you have to make. It's judgment calls. It's morals. It's also like what's best for the greater good. It's, you know, he has to compare like, okay, it's a child with a bomb or an adult or a woman. And like, he has to make important decisions. And I don't think that snipers just shoot wildly at like whatever. And they're like above the ground. So they're safer and they're not on the ground. Because he also did want to fight on the ground.
Right.
He's like, let me go in. I'm not helpful just sitting up there waiting. Put me on the ground. Like,
right. And he did.
Right.
Right. And that's the thing. You know, I mean, I think what Michael Moore meant is that, yeah, that he doesn't expose himself in the battle, you know. So he's like, he's sitting from a distance and killing people and not exposing himself.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter, it's necessary, as you can tell by the movie, to have snipers.
Right.
And they save a lot of lives, you know. So, but that guy had like over 100 kills, huh? Like 180 or something.
Well, and then that's where also the controversy came in, because it's like, is he a hero or is he just a machine?
Right. But that's what soldiers are. I mean, they're fighting machines, whether we want to admit it or not.
And it is their job that they're also not paid that much for.
Right.
So, like, yes, he's a hero because his job is doing what he is doing. He's killing people for the safety of others.
Right. And plus, don't forget that every soldier, every combat soldier has to deal with seeing their best friends die in front of them, you know, and get injured. And that's tough, you know, because they become like brothers.
Right.
When they're, you know, in their units. So, you know, to see all that kind of stuff. No wonder they come back and they're totally screwed up.
Right. I mean, I say give him the title of being a hero because I could never do that. And also, I host a radio show.
Yeah.
And, you know, exactly. Like when you compare things, like my life is a little trivial. And I'm okay with
compared to that. Right.
I don't wake up being like, I want to be a hero. Right. You know, it would be great if I was. But like, that's a real heroic job.
Right.
Call him what
absolutely.
He is.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, that's the thing is that, you know, people can sit back home here and criticize.
Yeah.
It's so easy to do. But it's terrible. It's terrible.
Is.
So the movie's good. You know, I mean, anything that Clint Eastwood touches is pretty good.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bradley Cooper did a great job, I thought.
I thought so, too.
So, yeah, I mean, to sustain a movie about a sniper for 2 hours is not necessarily that easy. You know, they had to show 4 tours of duty that they went there.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. So that's that. Did you see any movies this weekend?
No. Yes, I did. I was going to say no, but I lied. I saw This Is Where I Leave You.
Oh, did you like it?
I really did.
I loved that movie. I know. I like stuff like that.
Me
you know?
Too. And I don't think it got good reviews, but I really liked it.
Yeah, it was good. It was funny,
mm-hmm.
right? A lot of good actors.
Yep.
And it reminded me a lot of the Big Chill. The Big Chill. Did you ever see that movie?
It's an old movie.
But The Big Chill also brought a lot of friends together from the past. Together because somebody died, a common friend died.
Uh-huh.
And so they're all in the house also, and you see the relationships develop and everything.
Yeah.
So, and that's the way it is in this movie.
Yeah.
And
it was, so good.
Funny, right?
It was so funny, also sad and moving and touching and like
right.
turned a whole new page at the end. And I was like, wow, okay, cool. This movie touched on everything.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. I really did. Friday, I think it was Friday or Thursday, you had mentioned, you're like, we haven't actually talked about the Kardashians in a while.
That's true.
Well, I went to get my taxes done Saturday, and my accountant and his wife were the ones to tell me that Bruce Jenner is confirmed as becoming a woman.
Do you believe that?
I
mean, it's in the mainstream media now.
I believe it because they're telling me.
Right.
But I'm still kind of shocked that it's a real thing.
I know.
And, you know, if that's what he wants to do to be happy and it took all these years for him to finally get there, fine.
Right.
It's just so shocking. It really is.
But you could tell by the way he's changed his look all the time,
yeah.
right? Although it looked like he's just aging badly. But I think he underwent a lot of surgery.
He did.
Right?
And it was so interesting on the show. There was a whole conversation about his ponytail. And it was like, is he going to have his ponytail at the wedding, at Kim and Kanye's wedding? And it's like, cut the ponytail off. Like, stop with the ponytail. But then he, like, got his hair done, and it was straighter, and it was longer, and it was continuing to grow. And no one knew why he was so insistent on having this long hair.
Wow.
But it's because he was in the process of becoming a
woman.
And he's going to have it on a docuseries.
Yeah.
So he's documenting the whole thing, which...
Oh, really?
I'm going to watch it because it's fascinating, and I can guarantee a million other people are going to watch it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, is he doing it because he's so used to being in the limelight, and his family is very... That's like, you know, what they do. They're on camera all the time. Or is he doing it to help other people?
You mean coming out?
Yeah.
Well, I think the point is that... Eventually, it's going to be visible
right.
and noticeable. I mean, it is already. I don't know what the scoop is, but I saw on a magazine cover, they showed him with lipstick on.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is about, you know, but I don't know when it was taken or anything. But, yeah, I mean, it's got to be treacherous for the person going through that, you know,
right.
transgenders and stuff, you know.
And, I mean, you might as well control the story if you can
right.
versus have other people talk about it or make up their minds about it. He can actually put out there what he wants.
That's true.
And it's so interesting why that came out right now in the wake of the show Transparent that came out.
Oh, really?
I think maybe it made it so easier for him to come out.
Yeah.
Because that show is about a man in a family that is in the process of becoming a woman and openly dressing like a woman, going to like a self-help group and right. and telling his kids that he's coming out. And it's a whole interesting story about a family dynamic that has completely changed.
Yeah. God, it's so weird, man.
It is weird.
You know?
It's weird to think about that somebody needs that.
Right. I know. But, you know, I guess just like with being gay, where you're born with it, it's not a condition you really control.
Right. I mean, and if you're going to be happy and that's what's going to make you happy, do what you got to do.
Yeah, exactly. Why judge people?
Exactly. I mean, I can't relate, but
yeah, exactly. It's hard to relate. You see him in the, you see him in Transparent, and it's like, it looks ridiculous. Yeah. He looks ridiculous. You know, in the pictures, at least. I didn't see the show.
It's a really good show. I watched 2 episodes so far. Did I have you? 8 to go. It's really good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's on Amazon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing how they're coming out with their own content now.
It is, and it's also overwhelming because I'm like, I don't have time to watch all these shows.
I know.
I have to catch up. I haven't even seen, like, Breaking Bad, and that's on, like, regular TV.
Yeah, I know.
I'm behind.
I know. Wow. I don't know. You know, I mean, there's so many shows that most of them I never even heard of. Only when they break out and they become a big show, like Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Although I've never seen it either. You know?
Yeah. I see. And like, also The Wire. People rave about The Wire. I need to see that.
Right. What about Homeland? You see that, right?
I saw like 2 or 3 seasons. I haven't seen the last one. Okay. I need to catch up on that. It's because I didn't have HBO and now I do and I have to watch.
Okay. So that means you're a big fan.
Or Showtime. Showtime. Yeah.
You're a fan.
Okay. A new show actually is coming out on Amazon, and a friend is in it, and she was telling me about it yesterday, and then I heard an interview this morning on the radio, and I could not stop listening. It's
really?
Called Salem
yeah.
Rogers. It's about a girl, and she, I guess, goes into like a rehab facility, and she was a former model, and she can't stop thinking she's a model. So for like 10 years, she stays in rehab just because it's nice, and she like comes out of rehab, they kick her out, and she thinks she's Heidi Klum.
Really?
And then she's got that career. So she's like pissed off about other models that are successful. And she thinks she's like a supermodel. So it's supposedly really funny. There's a lot of like talent in it. So yeah. I need to watch it.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there was some sad news. I mean, well, we didn't really talk about the Super Bowl. I mean, the game, there was controversy at the end, right? About a call.
Well, Pete Carroll... like told his team to do like a pass that didn't make any sense.
Right.
There shouldn't have been a
pass.
Yeah,
like for 2 yards or something.
Yeah, you know, like don't throw it when you could run it.
Right.
And now have an interception and then you lose the game. Good job. Wow. Choices.
Okay, so that's pretty stupid, I think. Yeah. And
so the Patriots won.
Yeah, they did. Like they always do. If I had to bet on it, I would have said.
Yeah, but at least it was close. It wasn't like a blowout where like the game was boring.
It was a good movie. I mean, good game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, next year I'll catch it.
Yeah, Tom Brady's 4th Super Bowl win.
Yeah. I know, so. They win a lot.
Yep.
They win a lot.
Good for them.
Yeah. And finally, of course, Whitney Houston's daughter.
Yeah.
Wow.
Real sad.
Really sad. Was found unresponsive, face down in the bathtub.
Just like how her mom was.
Her mom was.
Really sad. They, you know, induced her into a coma.
Yeah.
Or induced a coma. And right. I think she's on, like, life support.
Yeah, or something. And I wonder why they induce coma. You think to save the brain or something?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it slows things from happening quickly.
Probably.
Better chance of survival, maybe. I don't know. She's on a ventilator.
Right. And that's pretty sad stuff. She probably won't come out of it. And if she does, probably brain damage or something, you know. They're unable to know now. But, you know, when you're there without any oxygen to your brain or whatever it was, you know, I don't know if the bathtub was full of water or not. I mean, what's the point? If she's, like, face down, she had to have drowned.
Yeah.
So I don't think she would have been alive.
It's really sad. She's the only child of Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown.
Right. The only one, right?
Yeah.
And her mother died from drug overdose. And so they're saying that she was not breathing when a man identified as her husband.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what does that mean? Either he's her husband or he's not.
Right. I mean, they're so diplomatic in these stories.
I know.
Like alleged.
Politically correct.
You know, yeah. It's like all these things that they say because it's not confirmed, but you have to give news.
Right.
So it's like alleged husband. What's alleged about him?
Yeah.
Like, look it up. There's either a marriage certificate or there isn't.
Well, I'm sure they can't look at a marriage certificate, but
is that not a public record?
I would think that they would just say her husband, not a man identified as her husband. But maybe it's because they didn't know who her husband was. Nobody knew, maybe.
I guess. I mean,
maybe
she's 21 or something. So
I know.
She was quite young. I didn't know she had a husband.
Yeah. And too bad for Bobby Brown, her dad. You know, he's had to deal with this twice.
Yeah.
Wow. Very scary stuff, man. I'm telling you. People go through a lot. I can imagine she was totally blown away by her mom's death.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of people were.
I mean, if you, this is the thing. If you don't deal with problems head on and you mask them with drugs or whatever it is and you keep it within you, you are sort of like doomed, I feel like.
Yeah, it like blows up in your face.
Yeah, it shows up. It surfaces at some point or another.
Yeah.
Sad.
I know, I know. And, of course, another three-year-old shoots his parents.
Jeez.
Again. And I always bring this up because although I'm tired of hearing the same story over and over, I'm also a big proponent of don't have a friggin' gun around your kids. I mean, what's the point? I don't even understand how people don't think about where their gun is at all time. It you know, it was in the mother's purse.
What's, and like also, why isn't there a safety on it? And why don't you put the purse up where the child can't reach it? And why does the child know what a gun is?
And why are you carrying a gun with you when you have a family around you? I mean, I don't get it. You know, it's not the Wild West here. You know, it's relatively safe to live here.
It's just
in this country.
Really crazy that even a kid knew this. 3-year-old knew what a gun was and how to use it.
Yeah. You know, and that's what happens. I mean, they think, oh, I'm protecting my family. But then you get all these accidents and they're always so similar. You know, an adult leaving it unattended, the 3-year-olds, 2-year-olds, 4-year-olds, whatever.
Yeah.
So he shot the father accidentally, of course, and the bullet went through his thigh, I think, exited the father's hip and hit the mother. So, and the mother's pregnant.
Yeah. And they don't know what happened or how her child, her unborn child is doing.
Yeah. See, I mean, so I don't get the father here. I mean, you have a pregnant woman, a pregnant wife, you have a 3-year-old boy, and you have a gun. And the thing is that he leaves the gun in the mother's purse, probably because he can't carry it on his body or something. And this whole mess happens. You know, if I had a gun and I was taking it outside the house, I'd want to know where it is at every second.
Yeah.
Right? So people are just gun happy here. And
also, you know, I mean, if you have a gun, you have to have know how to take safety precautions.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, absolutely. And another thing is that what I don't get, and this, I was reminded of this from the movie yesterday, hunting, you know, I mean, what's so cool about killing animals for fun?
Yeah.
I don't get it. You know, I mean, here we are, like, fighting for animals, for their rights not to use their fur.
Right.
Things like that. And then we just do this, you know.
I mean, it's not like we're a society that needs to kill our food to eat dinner.
No.
You know?
It's for fun. That's what they do.
Right.
They kill deer for fun.
I wouldn't be sad if hunting was banned.
Yeah.
Illegal.
I know. I know. And I was thinking, well, why isn't it banned? And I thought, well, you know what? In nature, if an animal is not endangered, then I guess they figure you get the freedom to do whatever, just like in nature, you know, where animals kill each other.
I think that there should be some similarities to, like, you can't just run around killing humans. You also shouldn't run around killing animals.
Right.
There
That's
should
what
be
I think.
Some legality to that.
Right. Simply because it's pointless.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you kept it for food, I understand.
Life is life.
Yeah. You know, I mean, they go and they just hang the head on the wall and stuff. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for today, folks. A lot to talk about, a lot still that we haven't covered, but we'll be back here.
Tomorrow,
yeah, we have studio guests about that love, love convention, whatever it is.
Debate.
The love debate. Thank
I
you.
I can't wait.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. And so join us tomorrow and... thanks, Jen, as always.
Thank you.
See you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.